Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Sunday, March 17th, 2024, coming right up. It is the book of Acts, chapter 25. Don't you dare miss it. Watch the way politics is playing out here. We have a political prisoner. They're using Paul, and there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to government officials. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts, chapter 25, and we'll get right into it. Now, Felix left his spot. Now we have Festus coming in here, and that's quite the name. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now remember, Festus, these guys just want to keep the peace. You know, they're an occupying force. They don't want the locals, like the citizenry, to be causing problems, because it looks bad on them, and then they might lose their job if they, well, you can't keep the peace of these people. So he'll do anything to support the Jewish clergy and their followers right now. He's going to try to appease them. So he goes from Caesarea to Jerusalem, which is about 20 miles, I believe. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. So they're still, like, this is years later. Years. These people cannot let go of the hatred. And we know people like this as individuals and also on a world stage. These people cannot get over the hate. And hate is a strong emotion, but you know what's the strongest emotion in the universe? Is love. And desired favor against him, that he would send him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. Like, they want to kill this guy, Paul, for doing what? All he was doing was teaching the Bible. All he was doing was teaching, really, when it comes down to it, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and they didn't like that. For some reason, they just want to keep their church the way they want it, with their traditions and their ceremonies and the money. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. So they tried to lure Paul up into Jerusalem, where they were going to kill him. And then Festus is like, no, you guys can come down and see him in Caesarea. Okay, I think it's 20 miles, 5. Let them therefore, he said, which among you are able, to go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. Like, bring some charges this time. This guy's been hung up in the bucket for years now. And with what charges? And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Now listen, in the manuscripts, there's a double negative here. We just say 10 days, and so we use the word 10. So just use the word for biblical numerics. 10 means 10 is God's orderly perfection. When 10 is used of God, when it's used of mankind, it's mankind's pathetic, failing attempt to govern ourselves, mankind's order of things. So we'll just see just what happened in those 10 days. Well, obviously, 10 days of doing what? Bribes and trying to make deals. This is the beginning of, like, a lobby. And we know what happens with lobbies in the most dangerous country on planet Earth. The most destabilizing, destructive force on planet Earth is the Assyrian, which is the United States. They just go around dropping bombs anywhere they feel like it. And we know that a lot of it has to do with the lobbies in the United States Congress in Washington there. They just keep paying, and money talks, and it changes. It just changes the course of nature. There's no morals or ethics when money is being thrown around like that. This was the beginning of the Israel lobby. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Okay, and when he was come, the Jews, which came about from Jerusalem, stood round about and laid many grievous complaints. Now, this word grievous here, we know from the first vial, anoint some grievous sore right on your soul. Well, that's kakos palneros. That's evil from within and evil actions palneros. Anoint some grievous sore right on your soul. But this word grievous is different here. And this is where I have to say it. There is no such thing as an English Bible. And there's no such thing as an English Quran. These are translations. So you have to go back into the manuscripts to understand the language. The student must understand the etymology and prophetic and biblical usage of the key words. And that comes only from the manuscripts through the lexicons. And you'll find out it's a much different book than in the English. It was the least possibly translated book into the English was the Bible and the Quran too. The two most best-selling books on planet Earth and the two most printed books on planet Earth. By far, nothing comes close. So let's get back on subject here. And laid many grievous complaints. Grievous is Barros here. It's well-organized, serious, impressive-sounding false accusations. We know what this is like. This is lawyers who just cast doubt on the truth. Remember a couple of chapters ago, they look for a great orator. So you get someone in the court, and he can just hammer somebody. You know, hammer the... what do you call the defendant? Yeah, the defendant. The person that they have charges against. So they're grievous complaints. That's grievous charges against Paul. But they couldn't prove nothing. Well, he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, neither against Caesar. Paul says, I haven't done nothing. You got nothing on me, is what he's saying. But Festus, willing to do the Jews' pleasure. Now remember what Jews is here. It's not a race of people. It's used as an adjective here to describe the elite clergy and their followers whose seed was planted in them by the devil. As we know, John 8:44, you are of your father the devil. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, who planted these seeds in these people? Well, the devil did. It's not the Holy Spirit. These people are full of hate. And when Festus willing to do the Jews a pleasure, why? Because they spent 10 days together, and look what they must have accomplished. You know, all these deals, all the money, all the corruption. Answered Paul and said, well, they'll go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me. Are you kidding me? That's a death trick, playing politics with a prisoner. Listen, I got something for you here. Let's go, law, like biblical laws for police officers, biblical laws for lawyers, and anyone in charge. So let's go to police officers first. It's Luke chapter 3, verse 14. And when you go to Luke 3, 14, if you want to see, it says don't put any false charges on anybody. That's forbidden in the Bible. That's slander, and God hates that. It's like when you get charged for something. I can't imagine what United States would be like, but I know what Canada's like. Someone gets charged for something, and then the cop comes along and just cakes on all these charges. And then by the time you get to court, you're just so overwhelmed. And then you got an orator there, the Crown Attorney, whose job is not to convict, but to find justice. But for some reason, they think they win or lose cases. Like, it's just a system that doesn't work. And here we're seeing it here. It's the same thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, why don't you just make a deal? Listen, we'll drop these 10 bogus charges, and then you just plead guilty to that one. And by that time, you know, a lot of times, the inmate, the defendant or the accused, is just exhausted. Just absolutely exhausted. They'll just, okay, I'll just give into it, right? Well, it's the same thing here. They're trying to trick Paul. Okay, so that was the law about police officers and people in charge, Luke 3:14. And on lawyers is Luke 11, verse 42 to 55 or 54. And you should read that. There's laws about people that cast doubt on the truth. And that's what lawyers do, and that's what Satan did right off the hop. Satan is the magistrate of the world. He is the schoolmaster of the world, and he is the treasure of the world, and he's playing it, and he's having a good time right now, but it's soon to come to an end. Will thou go up to Jerusalem and be judged? He's asking Paul, are you kidding me? That's a death trick. They know Paul knows what's going to happen to him up there. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done nothing wrong. And you know it too. You know it too, Festus. You damn well know it. They got nothing on me. There's been no charges laid. For if I be an offender, I have committed anything worthy of death. I refuse not to die. Listen, if you got something on me, I'll plead guilty to it. I'll cop to it right now. I'm guilty. But you got nothing on me. Like, you can't even give me a charge to fight against. I refuse not to die, but if there be none of these things whereof accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar. And remember back in Acts 23:11, I believe, that's God said, hey, you're going to end up in Rome, don't worry. God's ways. You might not like it. God will always give you a way out, no matter what you're up against. That's a good lesson here. He never puts more on you than you can handle. And you're not going to like it. It's not for your convenience. It's for your lessons. And he's using Paul here. Here's Paul's ticket to Rome is stamped. Just like it said in Acts 23, you're going to end up in Rome, not up in Jerusalem, getting lynched by these people. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, did you just really appeal to Caesar? Yeah, he did. and he's a Roman citizen, well, then you have to go. That's the law. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came onto Caesarea to salute Festus. So here comes a couple characters here. I'm pretty sure they're a brother-sister, but they were just hanging out. Doesn't say nothing greasy. I just read some history on these two. And it confirms what's going on here. All the same names to salute Festus. Okay, so it's, what do you call that? Dignitaries coming in. You know, they're going to hang out for a bit. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's case unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix. Like, when I came into power here, there was some dude sitting in jail. And his name is Paul. And there's no charges against him, but they want to kill him. Okay? And about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, judgment to die, before that which is accused, have the accusers face to face, and have license, that's opportunity to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. No charges had stuck yet, but they already passed sentence. This is crazy, and this happens today, too. It's the same thing. You're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. Not innocent until you're proven guilty. That's just a BS, and everybody knows it. But here, they already passed sentence. A death sentence. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man Paul to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood about, they brought none accusation, such things as I suppose. Like, they didn't have nothing, okay? They were just running their mouths, making accusations against Paul, but nothing stuck. It was, you know, lies will always, like, if you want to be a liar, you have to have a great memory. Have you ever noticed that? Who hasn't run into liars in their life? And we pray for these people, we pray for the whole human family. But liars have to remember their lies and the lies that they back up their lies, and it will always come around and contradict itself. The liars always convict themselves, and that's what is about the Bible's all about. Sinners will convict themselves because they'll never have a linear progression towards the truth. Their argument is always predictable. Because it comes around, contradicts itself. And that's what this Felix guy, or no, Festus, is finding out here. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition. You know what? He's talking to Agrippa and Bernice here. And if you read ahead to Acts 26, verse 3 and verse 27, there's not a chance that Festus would have said, yeah, Agrippa, your superstition. There's no way. That's why the English argument is pointless. Agrippa and Bernice both were well-versed in the Bible and understood it. And Felix or Festus was never said, yeah, your superstition. So it's not superstition, okay? That's another, you know, thing. You got to go back into the manuscripts. It just means their religion, follower of one's own beliefs. That's the biblical definition of religion. Follower of one's own beliefs. You either believe in Lord Jesus Christ or you make something up through scraps of information that you've heard from unlimited sources. And those are ideologies, and that's idolatry. So of their own of their own religion, okay? And of one Jesus, which was dead, who Paul affirmed to be alive. Excuse me. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these manners. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto hearing of Augustus, at Caesar, I commanded him to be kept until I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Felix, or unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. I want to talk to this guy. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Okay, it's on, man. 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, oh yeah, they have to, because they're the invading army. They have to come in and, you know, show everybody who's boss, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city. Oh, here's all the big shots. At Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all you men which are here, all you big shots which are present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews, having dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. No criminal charges, but they want him dead. But what I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Caesar Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto the Lord, unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signal the crimes laid against him. That's charges. Like, I can't just send a prisoner to go see Caesar and jam up his court, and then he's going to get there. Where's his paper? Where's Paul's paperwork? There was none. It was all made up. It was all lies. And we see how, you know, these Jews, which just means, always remember, there was no division between state and church back then. So these Jews were the lawgivers and lawmakers until, you know, the Romans came in, occupying force. So you see the way the money flows, and it's the same thing lobbying in the political systems. Mankind has a 100% failure rate at governing ourselves, and here's a great example of it. And the best example is just look at the world stage today. Free will entities simply must be governed. Well, I thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day, and bye for now.